I would like to read for you this morning the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. So if you have a Bible handy, you can open to that, or it should appear on your screen in just a second. And you can follow along, or you can just listen. Very familiar words. It's good to hear them again. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord." And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. I had an experience this week on a day in which I needed it, actually quite a bit. a fellow pastor friend called me. It was one of those moments that just happens, that you feel God encouraging you in a special way. And we got to talking about some of the trials and problems and difficulties in life, both personally, things that we're going through, as well as in ministry. And at one point, he's quite a bit younger than I. At one point, he asked me, "So how do you keep going? Where do you get the energy and the inspiration from? Where do you find hope in the troubles that you're facing?" And my answer to him was Colossians chapter 1, pieces from verse 17, 19, and 20. "Christ holds all things together. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile him to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Whether it's personal sin, failure of myself or people in my circle, whether it's personal weakness or inability, whether it's broken relationships, whether it's financial hardship, trauma, illness, and sorrow of me personally, or of us as a community and us as a family and us as a group. Or when you look out in our society, and right now the way it is in the United States, whichever side of the political divide you find yourselves on, you're thinking to yourself, we're in big trouble if the other group gets the power. Not to mention COVID. Not to mention systemic racism. The hacking of government and private computer systems. The trust that we have in government and in our media. The refugees and the wars. And the environmental destruction. The Italian philosopher Antonio Gramsci wrote, "The old world is dying and the new world struggles to be born. Now is the time of monsters." Somehow, and this is quite literally what keeps me going, in Christ, God is holding everything together and he's reconciling the world to himself. And therefore, all things to each other. Because the one can't happen without the other. In other words, I lift my eyes out of the darkness and the trial, and I see the broader picture. I see this great thing that God is doing. And my little piece of that, and my little world, that's a piece of that. Not that I do it every time, and certainly not that that resolves everything, not that that always takes the pain away or makes things any easier to handle, but still, when push comes to shove, I said to my friend, this is the verse that's my foundation. And that's what I want to focus on out of this Christmas story a little bit with you this morning. First, the shepherds. The angels come to the shepherds and they sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Whom his favor rests. Now, if you read those words as you read them in the ESV and many other translations, they seem to be a little conditional. That God's peace comes to those in whom he is well pleased. Well, who is that? Is that everybody? Is that me? There's a lot of discussion about the proper translation of that little phrase. And the translation of that little phrase, and I won't go into all the Greek of it. I'm not a Greek expert anyway, but I won't go into all the Greek of it. Hangs from one little letter. And it depends on which of the old manuscripts you read. Because the King James says this, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. There's no in whom he is well pleased or on whom his favor rests. And another literal translation of the Bible that I use a lot, Young's Literal, glory in the highest to God, and upon earth peace among men, goodwill. There are no boundaries. And I found some commentary on this from John Calvin, who spoke of the reading that would divide, on whom his favor rests. And John Calvin says, and I quote, "How that reading crept in, I know not, but it ought certainly to be rejected, both because it is not genuine and entirely corrupts the meaning." The angels came and lifted the eyes and hearts of the shepherds from the darkness of that midnight in troubled Judea, with all of its political and economic and social struggle. And the angels lift our eyes in the troubles of 2020, and they shine a light. And they say, look up, because God's peace, God's glory, God's will is going to shine and bring peace to all men without distinction. And hear the words again of Simeon when he meets Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." My eyes have seen your salvation. He's looking up, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. In the darkness of the temple, in first century Jerusalem, filled with personal loss, pain, and death, as well as political and economic despair, Simeon looks up. He sees that little baby, but he doesn't see a baby anymore. He sees God working. God bringing salvation, peace. Salvation has come. My eyes have seen it in the presence of whom? All people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, not just us Jews. There's a fundamental change in history coming. It's not just us Jews anymore. It's for everybody. Shepherd's eyes are lifted up. Simeon's eyes are lifted up from the despair of the day, and they see glory, and they see light. And Simeon quotes, actually, the prophecy of Isaiah, who lived some 700 years before his time. And he quotes Isaiah from chapter 42. And when the angels sing that God's peace comes to all men, when Simeon realizes after his long life that God's salvation has come, a light for the Gentiles, when Paul writes, God is in Christ, reconciling all things to himself, this is what they mean. And listen while I read this passage from Isaiah 42. God says, "Behold my servant, Jesus, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him. He will bring forth" what? "Justice to the nations." Not just to me, not just to us, but to the nations. "He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. Come screaming and shouting with huge rallies. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. Are you a bruised reed? Are you a faintly burning wick? He's not going to break you. He's not going to put you out. But he will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or discouraged until he has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law. He will not grow faint or discouraged. In the disaster that is 2020, know this, that Jesus Christ will not grow faint or discouraged until he has established justice in the earth, as we learn from Romans, all the way out and all the way down. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light, and here's where Simeon quotes from, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. And you can interpret those words all the way from your very own personal blindness and dungeon and prison to that, to those of people actually sitting in prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Despair of the shepherds in that dark midnight, in the despair of Jerusalem in those rough days of crucifixions every day, in Paul's rough day of traveling around trying to spread the gospel and being beat and imprisoned and rejected on every side, Paul knew, and Simeon knew, and the shepherds learned that new things are being declared. That before they even spring forth, while we still have just this little tiny baby and just this little piece of light right here, know that because this baby has come, because this light has shined, has shone, that no despair in which you find yourself will have the last word. Here's a question for you. When you think of Jesus holding things, all things together, and when you think of God in Christ reconciling all things to himself, and when you think of the message of the angels, peace toward all men, and when you think of Simeon, God's salvation in Jesus for all people prepared, a light to the Gentiles and glory to Egypt, to Israel, what do you long for? Lift your eyes up out of your current despair. What do you long for? What do you want to see? What do you want to see healed and brought together and changed and renewed and recreated? On what level? How deep, how wide, how high. And know that God has shined his light in Jesus into this world. The one who is holding all things together and who is reconciling all things to himself. And your deepest longing, which flows out of your deepest pain and sorrow, is met there. And however dark the night is, That light is there and will always have the last word. And not only that, and this is what literally keeps me going, God has called you and me and each one of us who have seen that light to pass it on, to give it to our community around us, to the people who are most intimate to us, to those who are the furthest away, whom we see on our TV screens and for whom we pray and for whom we sometimes shed a tear and for whom we sometimes send money. At every level, God calls us to lift our eyes up from the despair of today, to see him holding all things together and reconciling all things to himself. He will never tire of doing that, and his purpose will succeed. And therefore, I have hope, and therefore I can keep going. And that's the long version of the answer that I gave to my friend.